coming to tonight's comic book club. And now, here are your hosts, Deepa Page, Justin Tyler, and Alex
Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our Man of the Booth, Booth Man. And guys, before we get into the show proper, very important, there's been a lot of rumors going around, sure, a lot of news.
We should address this.
Yes, we should, actually. I think it's really important because there was big news that broke yesterday.
Oh, God.
For $4 billion, Disney bought Comic Book Club.
Yeah!
But, like, I know a lot of people have been worried.
What's going to happen? Yeah, how is this show going to change? And we're just gonna, the first to say,
take our fucking bell.
Nothing's going to change.
Nothing is going to change. Yeah. Disney purchased our stable of three incredible characters.
Four!
Three! It's Alex, Justin, and Boone.
Asking about a theme park ride,
right?
Yeah.
Don't worry, they won't be closing down Comic Book Wonderland, our theme park.
Yeah.
We can travel inside my colon.
And what about the concert?
People like it. I didn't make it.
It's called Pete's Wild Ride.
Yeah.
No.
We've been on Katie Corus.
All right. See you later, Pete. But last but not least, what about the content of the show? Is anything going to change in the content of the show?
No way!
What was that?
Nothing, that's how I talk. That's just how I talk.
Well, I think that's great!
Oh, no, that's good, that's good.
Thank you!
Hey.
Pluto. Nice very Donald cool. Duck.
Yeah.
Guys, we have an amazing show for you. We're very excited about our guest tonight. Later in the show, we're going to have a call from Chris Sims from the Invincible Superblog. But we have two physical guests who are here in the theater with you guys.
Really?
So let's bring them out. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Saffel and Danica Navagoronda. So much for coming out. I got within a striking distance of your last name, right?
Pretty good.
Okay. You said a lot of extra letters.
Yeah. You were kind of just rolling with it.
I love letters.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for children to learn.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we got to do that now.
Way to bring the show down a notch.
Yes. I'm sorry that it was upsetting to mention that children should learn.
I know.
Danica, let's chat with you first about these books. So let's talk about Slow Storm first. This is your first book. You worked for First Second as well, right?
Yeah, I've worked as a designer for 3 years. Now I'm freelance.
Cool. And tell us about this book. Tell us what it's about.
It's set in Kentucky, which is where I'm from. And it's about a woman who's a firefighter and a Mexican immigrant. And they come together during a tornado storm when his barn catches on fire.
And you used a really interesting technique in terms of the art. I'm going to open it up a little bit. I don't know how much you guys can see. But it's mostly watercolors for the most part, right?
Awesome.
Can you talk a little bit about the process of putting together the art?
Yeah, I mean, I drew the black and white in ink, and then I copied it onto watercolor paper, and I'd never used watercolor before, so it was a big experiment. I had to redo a lot of things.
Well, why did you want to do that if you had never used it before?
It's like, I've always wanted to build a rocket.
I have.
Yeah, me too. Well, I just built one. You want to come try it with me?
But it worked out in this case, I guess. And yes, the second book.
I've seen her watercolors. I'd want to ride in her rocket.
Yeah.
That's a pull quote for the cover. Let's talk about Refresh, Refresh, which is coming out soon. Mm-hmm. How did this come about?
It's based on a short story and a screenplay. Jamie Ponsell wrote the screenplay, and Ben Percy wrote the short story. And I read the screenplay, and I loved it, and I thought that it should be made into a book. And I took it to First Second, and they were like, great, you should find someone to draw it, and you should art direct it. And I was like, okay, no, I want it. So I took it for myself, and I drew the book. And
cool. Really and what's it about?
It's about three teenage friends, or seniors in high school, three boys who whose fathers are fighting in Iraq as Marines in the war, and just them growing up and trying to deal with their fathers being gone and beating the shit out of each other.
We're like this.
Yeah,
we're always just like joshing around.
Yeah.
I don't think you were listening to what you just said.
Well, the main character's name is Josh, so there
I nailed it.
And when's this coming out?
September 29th, I think.
Cool. Great. Awesome. Steve?
Wait, before we move on, we should just share with the audience the reason she's rocking the numbers there is because she just competed in a triathlon Chicago.
Ooh. Yeah!
Wow, that's awesome. So was it like reading a comic book and then a graphic novel and then watching a cartoon? Is that-
Hey, what's it like to run? I've learned so much about it.
It was a long run.
Yeah.
And did you win?
No.
Yeah, I beat everyone. Except for some people.
Oh, you got a great spin on that.
Steve, let's chat with you. You're holding your book in your hands, so show that to the people. So, best of seven movies. Talk a little bit about the book. How did this come together?
Well, I've known Joe for a bunch of years from when I was over at Marvel. We worked together on a couple of things, and he's always wanted to try to get some real serious publishing going again. I mean, Joe's been an entrepreneur in comics since about 1939. And he was the first editor at Marvel ever. And so we got together with, put out a few feelers. Titan Books came in, and the owners of the company came and met with Joe and sat down and came to a deal. And so at 95 years old, Joe has a 7-book deal.
Wow.
Yeah, he was asking me recently whether or not he had to stick around for all of it, and I said absolutely. I'd be really pissed off if he didn't.
Yeah. It's a 12-book deal now, Joe.
Hmm?
It's a 12-book deal now. 15.
Exactly.
Keep him going.
I'm working on that. But it's actually amazing working with the guy, because he, at 95, he's just as sharp as can be.
Well, you were saying that you were chatting with him earlier today, right?
Oh, yeah. I was over there before I came here. I got him, actually, I brought a bunch of the books in case anybody's interested in picking up one, because I brought a few that that he had signed.
Wow.
Available for purchase after the show.
They are. And we actually aren't charging for the autograph at all. But the thing about Joe is that... the worst you'll get is he'll be in the middle of this anecdote about something that happened in 1944, and he'll be like, and we were talking to the editor, oh shoot, what was that editor's name? I can't remember, okay. And then I'll get home that day, and there will be an answering machine message, and I'll be like, Steve, it was Mort Weisinger, that's who it was. And I'm like, I'm lucky if I can remember last week. And this man has like, detailed memories of what it was like to go to lunch with, you know, Jerry Siegel, you know, that kind of thing. It's amazing stuff. And he was, I think, the other Renaissance man in comics. I think there were two guys at the beginning, Will Eisner and Joe Simon, who could do it all. Because if you really get down to it, Joe could write, pencil, ink, color, letter, package, edit, publish. From the beginning. And he did all of those things. And the only other
Stable.
Guy I know of, pretty much. Oh, actually, no, he went out to the printers all the time, too. He's always talking about going out to New Jersey to the printer.
Yeah. How many comic book guys go to the printer? What would he do there? It's like, good. Everything's good.
He would make sure that everything was running right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing.
Hilarious.
And it's wild to listen to him, because almost everybody today does, like, one thing. I mean, you do more than one thing, which is unusual in the field, because you tend to find people who write or pencil or ink, but you don't find people who like make comic books. And pretty much in the beginning of comics, that's the way it worked. In the beginning of comics, you made comics. They didn't tell you how many pages. They didn't tell you what to do. He did a Western first, followed by like some monster stuff and some superhero stuff. And he just turned it in. And they said, oh, this is good. We'll get you a check. Of course, what they didn't mention was the check had to wait for all the sales reports to come in, so they didn't mention how many months it would take to get the check. And having been a newspaper guy before that, he's like, you're paying me when? But he really became one of the guys who could do it. And it's wild to talk to him, because he still got all of that. I still run stuff past him, and he's still like, oh, there's a typo there, and you ought to phrase that like that, and you ought to do that like that. He's still... like probably one of the best editors in the business.
And he's like, what's the deal with Dark Wolverine?
he's not following too much.
Yeah.
How can he not?
Yeah.
He's so cool.
Since he's got this deal with Captain America, he's kind of interested in what's going on with Marvel.
Oh, that's cool.
Because after all, you know, his character is being made into a movie in a couple of years here. I mean, Joe's the guy who drew the first picture of Captain America.
He's excited about the movie?
He is very excited about the movie. He's
cool.
Very excited.
Is he going to get to go like to the set or anything?
Is he going to
play Bucky?
Yeah.
He could practically do it based upon Bucky having been in the war. Yeah. But the thing about Joe is he lives here in the city, but I don't picture him flying out to LA to do it. He's just not going to be doing that.
Show him a little bit of the panel.
He's got a good relationship with the guys at Marvel, which is why they let us, you know, run a Captain America story and perfectly restored, because we actually got the original proof pages for that. But every single page in this thing is just amazingly restored. What a lot of people don't realize is that their first million seller was Captain America. They sold 1 million copies per issue. Their second million seller was a war book, Boy Commandos. And their third million seller was when they created the romance comic. They did the first romance comic.
Yeah.
These two Jewish guys, one from Rochester and another guy from Brooklyn, and they created the romance comic for girls. It's wild because, I mean, they were on their way home one day. It was the day Joe's first son arrived, and Joe and Jack were on their way to the hospital. And they stop in like a card shop newsstand, and they see a bunch of girls clustered around the comic books.
You know.
And they suddenly realize that what those girls were looking at was the first romance comic, and that's when they knew they had a million seller.
Wow, that's hilarious.
Great.
And they had such great dialogue too.
And the book is on stands right now.
Oh, absolutely.
You got some dialogue there?
I thought you'd like that.
Awesome.
All my life, I had been two women. One, the daughter of a missionary, firm in her convictions and dedicated to her father's work. The other, a hellcat, fiery, emotional, wanting to love and be loved. I was never certain which of these women was really me until a wild, unprincipled scoundrel named Gary Donovan tried to awaken the savage in me. So Gary Donovan says, "Your straight-laced get-up doesn't fool me one bit, baby. You're just aching to be kissed, and I aim to please." To which she replies, "You crazy fool, if you don't let me go, I'll beat your brains out."
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, thank you.
They don't want to do romance. Oh,
yeah.
Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack. Yeah. First thing we're going to talk about is Fantastic Four, number 5 of 70. Start of a new run by Jonathan Hickman and Dale Eaglesham.
Yeah.
What did you guys think about this issue?
The art was fantastic.
I think it's weird.
Pregnant pause.
Yeah. I think it's weird that Reed Richards looks kind of jockey.
Yeah.
He has a real strong jaw and everything.
Yeah, he's sort of
stubble. Yeah, I don't know.
You think about him as being sort of a tall, skinny guy, but he's more of a rugged adventurer type here.
Yeah, I like him when he's kind of real nerdy.
I didn't hate this book. It's homemade. Jonathan Hickman is a good writer. Dale Eaglesham's art, I think, is great.
Yeah.
But it feels very stilted. It feels very stiff across the board up until the last page.
The last page is faint. So Reed Richards rolls
Spoiler.
In. Yeah. He rolls into this dimensional portal or whatever.
Rolls.
And meets all the other Reed Richards from all the other dimensions. And some of them are like, have like long beards. And it's like, wow.
One of them's fat.
Yeah. One of them's like half a robot. Anyway. So, real mind blowing.
You could imagine.
Yeah.
Tall, fat robot.
Yeah. Holding pizza. It's crazy. So then, the last page, the three Reed Richards that are in charge are each have an infinity gauntlet on.
Oh.
And they're like, what do we do now? Awesome.
Why?
Bye.
I had the exact opposite reaction to that. I was like, lame.
Why? What is lame about that?
They've done that before. I don't care. That's how the Hulk got shot into space. Bad idea.
What?
He came back really pissed.
What are you talking about?
He almost broke the whole world. He was so angry. You come up with great ideas like that? You know, like, that's not good. Why don't we? I know. Why don't we put Century in a box and just poke him for a while?
Good point. You're right, Pete. This book is terrible.
Cool. Let's move on and talk about Incredible Hulk number 601.
Yeah!
Guys, the pack is back. Greg Pak is back on the team.
Yeah.
Pete. All right. Pete. I just want to say that this is crazy because I was like, I don't know. I mean, Bruce Banner cannot turn into the Hulk. I don't think I'm going to like this. Fantastic. I love how Bruce is kind of like shady and working deals and like really just messing with Fantastic Four Reed Richards. Like, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
For those of you, very quickly to interject, for those of you who haven't been reading it, as of a previous issue, Bruce Banner cannot become the Hulk anymore.
You know, his greatest dream come true.
Right, but for some reason.
And as soon as that happens, he's like, all right, I better get this robotic arm in this force field and go out and start doing Hulk things. I think he's crazy. Like, he's like right back out there. He finally gets to be like, all right, I can relax. And then he's like, all right, let's fight the Fantastic Four, beat up my son, and then trick him into working with me to do weird missions.
That's the greatest idea ever. What are you talking about?
It doesn't matter. I don't know.
You're right. The first thing you should do, you should
go on a vacation.
No. You should go next door and get that little kid and be like, here, just keep banging on these pans. Nothing's going to happen. I can just stand there and be like, it's not going to make me angry anymore. Yeah.
That's cool. That classic Hulk story where he murders the hand.
I love that story.
Yeah, really. Really color my life.
My dad used to read
Peter
through.
David, a banging.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seminal.
I like this. And the reason I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, I think there's a pretty clear indication that something else is going on, that it's not.
He has to train his son. I mean, that's the most important thing.
Okay, that's not the thing that's going on. Something else is going on where, obviously, we all know that Bruce Banner is going to end up being the Hulk again. There's something else going on.
I don't know. There's this Red Hulk out there.
You know what? You're right. The Red Hulk probably has replaced the regular Hulk forever.
Never know. That's a great twist.
Yeah.
Oh.
I like this issue. I thought it was good.
I thought the story was good. It just seemed very out of character.
Nope.
There you go. Definitive reaction. I'm just going to rearrange some stuff here. Here we go. Batman, the Whining Gyre. Number one from Kevin Smith.
Hey,
I remember from Mallrats.
What'd you think? What'd you think of this?
Why?
What did I think of this?
Yeah.
I don't wanna cause any waves or anything, or shock you guys at all, but I'm Jewish.
I think Pete is getting like a wave, Jewish wave.
Freaking pause.
Yeah.
Good. This issue starts with a bunch of Nazis hilariously breaking a synagogue in half, and Batman cracking jokes and fighting them.
Yeah.
Which, as a Jewish person, I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. Okay, look.
There's nothing those Nazis want more than the sacred Torah scrolls. That's really what they're after, like, some old.
This is so stupid. And I think beyond all of that stuff, which is so stupid, the thing that does not work for me at all about this is it starts off, the first two scenes are Batman first in a brightly lit synagogue in the middle of the day, and the second one is he's skulking at a convenience store. Which I feel like...
Well, it's a Kevin Smith book. He writes what he knows.
I was going to say, you guys were surprised because Kevin Smith might be doing something slightly shocking for effect.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh. You really see behind the curtain. Yeah, well, that's the thing is, he's just, it doesn't work in the comics that he writes. Yeah. This one is better than his last joke.
Yeah, it was better than the last one.
Okay, what did you think about, is this true about Killer Croc's origin?
Well, yeah, so to explain, I don't think it's true until now, but he explains that Killer Croc has the rough skin because he has the human, with papillomavirus. Yeah, HPV, which is a sexually transmitted disease. So
he didn't have any, he couldn't protect himself, so he got this thick skin that makes him look exactly like a giant crocodile.
Really twisting. Wow. Yeah. And he's like, he's been this way since he was 11. Wink. Alright, I don't think I need to investigate this.
Why do they keep giving him comics? For God's sakes.
Because people buy them.
They buy them.
Because his name is...
We bought them.
That's our fault. Yeah.
Cool, there you go. All right, let's move on. Talk about the real Hulk. Hulk number 14. You guys. What'd you think about this?
Well, you gotta admit, this...
No, I don't. Whatever it is.
Never mind, then. No, this was a lot of fun. This was cool. I feel like... Jeff Loeb, come on, takes a little heat sometimes for his writing, and just I feel like, yeah, just yeah. a little, and I feel like this was A, better, and B, a lot of fun.
Those are both the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm actually going to agree with you. I said pretty consistently that I go back and forth almost every issue on this title, where it's just, it feels like the stupidest thing ever, and then it feels like, this is fun. And this one, especially the art, where it feels almost like an animated series version of the Hulk, the Red Hulk, and Domino is adorable looking in here.
Yeah. Elektra is also very well drawn.
Don't laugh at that.
No, the art is fantastic in this, and it's surprising for Ian Churchill, who doesn't usually draw like this, I thought.
Yeah.
But, and I will say, I liked it all right. It's just the Red Hulk is forming a team, and then they go to fight some other people.
Yeah. And, he has reasons for it, but the majority of the reasons are they're all red.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is he hates red things.
No, he loves red things.
Yeah. I think deep down he hates
them. Oh.
That's another twist. It's a real Loeb-style twist.
Yep.
Yes.
All right.
Wow. Yes.
Ringing endorsement.
next, Flash Rebirth number 4. We've been a little hesitant about this series, I think.
We
bring Barry Allen back into the Flash universe, into the DC universe. Pete, I hesitate to ask what you thought of this.
Well, it sucked for a while, but then got good at the end. The Speed Force.
Are you sure you didn't put this down and pick up a different comic book? Yeah.
Well, it's just one of these. It's really annoying the way they're dealing with the Speed Force, and like, Speed Force is really. It's tearing me up, but if I just run faster, I'll be able to save the day. Like, really? That's the big thing to solve all these people dying?
That's what they do, man. What else can they do? The only solution is run faster. Every issue of this, all the different Flashes are like, oh man, I'll just go. And then they go further or faster, and then they make... I mean, I think... You can speak to this running. Is sometimes the only thing to do.
That's a run, right?
But obviously it's my friend. Well, I'm pitching this thing called the Slow Force. That I'm hoping we can add.
You just go where slower?
Where like
it's just slow.
See, okay, but you don't want to break through to the Slow Force. I think it could be a great kind of villain.
There was a Flash villain during Jeff Johns' run called the Turtle, who slowed everybody else down.
Interesting.
And then the Flash could move at a regular speed.
What about Professor Slow?
No, that's never been done.
See? That's a DC editor in the booth. All right, I'll work on some other stuff.
This issue is very good. I really like where it's going, and it's definitely bringing everything to a crest. It's great. Yeah. Last but not least, maybe, let's talk about Blackest Night Titans number 1.
Right.
It's continuing the Blackest Night event. This one, you of course will know by the French kiss with tongues that is happening on the cover.
Yeah.
Right?
Dead tongue.
Yeah. It's not in the preview really, but on the cover her tongue is very clearly pink and snaking into her mouth.
I'm surprised how much drool there is on this cover coming out. They don't know how to kiss.
Really?
Or maybe they do.
Huh?
Teach him.
Who, Pete?
Well...
Yeah, do it! Yes.
No.
Well, that's the only time the audience has never joined in.
Some things just...
Thank you.
Not even Kevin Smith would write that.
The universe would just blow up if they did.
What do you think about this issue?
I don't know. I don't like these Titans.
These Titans.
But here's what I'm thinking. What about old Titans? As like some sort of villains. Like, because they're
damn kids.
Yeah, they're much. They're like the opposite.
That's cool. Yeah, yeah, it's the opposite.
Yeah, yeah.
So like for Beast Boy, there could be Mineral Girl.
Oh, I was thinking Beast Man. Because he's older. No, you don't get that.
Or Sir Beast.
This is the least of the Blackest Night tie-ins, I would say.
No, the last one before it was pretty bad too.
The last one before what?
The one before the Superman one. That was
that one was good.
No, it was not. Oh no, Lois Lane. What?
That's a real weird criticism. That's just a character.
Well,
thing.
They were bringing back, like, if you're... All right.
Here's the thing. With all of these Blackest Night tie-ins and stuff, there are too many people that are keep coming back. There, like, every one, there's, like, 9 people who are like, bet you wouldn't, didn't think you'd see me. And I was like, I think I would have guessed that. Since everyone that anyone ever met in the DC Universe is like, look at me. Just try and get me. And then nothing happens.
You're already gonna ask. I'm just trying to figure out, because looking at this cover and looking at that earlier version of the artwork, somebody in an art review meeting actually said, we need more tongue.
Yeah.
Because it's like clearly not there. And somebody said, no, it's gonna be long red and pink. And it's like, I'm trying to figure out.
I need more tongue.
That's like.
Well, they won't know what they're doing.
That had to be the strangest editorial meeting.
Well, they have a tongue editor on these. And there's a lot of the tongue work in a lot of the different series.
Yeah,
across
there's
the
tongue
line.
Continuity.
Yeah.
he's actually a deli guy.
Jesus.
Yeah. All right, we'll handle the joke.
Would you say pick this up?
No.
Nope.
No. And that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we can move on to our next section, but before we do, we're going to make a phone call.
Oh, is this happening?
Yes, this is happening now. We are going to attempt a technical feat never before on Kickstarter time. That has never before been attempted by man, which is making a call on a phone.
Can he do it?
Oh, it's working.
I'm really surprised this guy.
Hi, is this Chris? Hey, Chris, it's Alex, and this is the Comic Book Club.
Pranked you! What?
Can you hear us?
Can you
hear me? Yeah! All right, everybody give him a round of applause. Yeah.
That's 10,000 hands clapping right there. So 5,000 people.
That's a lot of people there.
Yeah, we do.
Chris, we were telling people you're from the Invincible Super Blog. Tell us a little bit about the blog and what it's about.
Mainly, the IRC is about my world of three things. And the three things are Batman, people getting kicked in the face, and attention.
Cool.
And that pretty much sums up what I'm about. It started out with me sort of with having a New Year's resolution to write more, and then because I'm around comics all the time, and I read comics all the time, it turned into a comics blog. And I grew up really good, but I just choose off and legal issues, Jimmy Olsen, and have fun. So.
How did your blog go from being a regular blog to becoming invincible and super?
I just thought that would be a good name for it. But,
that's not a great origin story.
Well, tell us a little bit about, you branched out into writing comics as well, the Action Age of Comics, so tell us a little bit about those.
That was one of the things that I worked with that before. And one of the things we always do the whole time is we sort of make stories to each other. And the guy I used to work with named Chad, who actually used to have the job that I've got now, was what he went on to the better job that he made actual money. worked on some of his own comics, and he just didn't want to write comics forever. And I was one of the right, but I didn't necessarily want to write comics until, you know, we got talking and we were talking about type of stories we were going to do. And so, another friend of mine named Joe Shelley started sort of a webcomic imprint, I guess you call it, called the Flashback Universe, where he wanted to do comics that were formatted for the computer screen to be viewed in a CDR reader. So you wouldn't have to deal with having it in PDF, and you wouldn't have to deal with with a friend / viewer. You can just have, a page on the screen and then advance to the next page. And what he wanted to do with it was he wanted to make comics that sort of recapture the Marvel Bronze Age spirit. So, Chad and I, took some stuff to him, and I ended up writing a Christmas story for him, and I wrote one and saw it for him. And Chad and I sort of took this sort of take on Taliban Iron Fist that became this comic that ended up working on our own called The Hardpoints. And why that was, we decided we were going to pitch that to, pitch around and try and get it actually published, because it, I think it's actually pretty good, but I wrote it, so I'm a little biased. While we were doing that, we couldn't do this down, we talked to Eric Boyson, and this was the last day as publisher of Image Comics. He looked at it, he told us that we should get another inker, and he said, I want to see it again with a different inker. And that, and then the next day, he stepped down as publisher. So the hard ones took their voice and out of Image. But then while we were getting that, while we were trying to get moving on that, we had other ideas and we wanted to do stuff with it. So we sort of put together this, quote-unquote studio, which is, two guys, and whoever we can find will do it for us for free. And Chad did Danger Ace and Impossible, which are two comics that he actually done before. He went back and re-lettered and sort of rewrote them. And I did Fallen Stone, which is my half-been by the Texas Skateboard Champion character. And Chad also did a book called Monster Plus, which is about a vampire, werewolf, mummy, zombie, from Mars in the future. The best villain ever created in comics, whose name is Hitler, the demon with Hitler's for hands.
What? Well, that's
And we put all these up for free, so if anybody out there wants to see Hitler, you can go to ashnewscomics.com and check them out.
Awesome.
We've got some fun stuff on there. We're really having some fun with it. And we're close to getting the awesome stuff. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Cool. So cool. So we're going to have you hang around for our audience questions. Is that cool, Chris?
No, I don't like to speak to
Cool. So we'll refer to you.
Let me know if you need any water or anything.
cool.
Good.
We'll just pour the water right on the phone, so it'll be fine. So cool. So we're going to bring out Booth Matt for our audience questions.
Yeah.
He lives in the booth.
Yeah, great. Okay. Who is the first comic artist you remember being a fan of?
Cool. So Steve, let's start with you. Being specific. So. So we're gonna I'll go down the line. Chris, you're in the middle, so we'll get to you in a second, but just if you want to think about it, I completely forgot.
Who's the first comic artist you remember being a fan of?
Who's the first comic artist you remember being a fan of?
I think I'm gonna have a tie between Ditko and Kirby.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Tie.
Danica?
I guess Chris Ware.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Chris, first artist you remember being a fan of?
First artist I remember being a fan of is probably M.T. Bright. Mark Bright.
Oh, Mark Bright, yeah.
Cool. Frank Quitely.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
From when?
Authority, probably.
Wow.
Yeah. I started late.
Yeah, no, that's right. Growing up and reading comics in like the 90s, it was Jim Lee for me. But yeah.
I was a big. I really liked. I was first really into the black and white. It was my first like. Oh, this is so much better. So Eastman and Laird.
Raise your hand if you've asked the question. Pete's gonna bring you a gift, and let's get the next question.
What do you think of DC's straight to DVD movies? And are they overdoing it?
Ooh.
Oh, interesting.
So, Chris, did you hear that question?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. What do you think about DC's direct-to-DVD movies, and are they overdoing it?
Where do you want to start? Do you want to?
I don't know. Well, Chris, do you want to weigh in, and then we'll sort of chat around you?
Sure. I haven't seen all of them. I've only seen the Wonder Woman one, and I saw a new one here.
So let's hear from everybody else. What do you guys?
I actually haven't watched any of them, so I don't know. I don't think they're overdoing it yet because I haven't seen them.
I've seen a bunch of them. I really don't think like they're overdoing it because it's DVDs. It's not like I'm like, oh, I have to buy another DVD. You know, it's nice. It's not, you know, it's nice if it's there if you have an option of like, well, do I want to watch Wonder Woman? Do I want to watch? I really love the Batman thing. I thought that was cool. Really got me amped up for the movie. I enjoyed the Wonder Woman one. I didn't like New Frontier as much. I thought the art was amazing, but some of the stuff they did, I wasn't too excited about it.
I love that they're doing such specific stories.
Yeah.
As opposed to just like Superman fights a guy.
Although people
that?
Would buy that.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? Any opinions?
I haven't.
Okay. Steve?
I think DC's probably got the best bet at the moment. Because they're bringing in talent like, you know, Kevin Conroy, Tim Daly.
Oh, yeah,
Conroy. You know, Clancy Brown is Lex Luthor, as far as I'm concerned. And the fact is that as long as they can do that, I think that what they're doing is quality movies. I mean, look at their first one was Mask of the Phantasm.
Yeah, that was amazing.
That kicked serious ass.
Yeah, it did.
And the fact is that as long as they can do that, it really doesn't matter how long they do it. Now, yesterday, the playing field levels a whole lot. Because now you've got Disney Pixar potentially doing the Marvel ones, too. In a way, I think we're seeing the future of a lot of the biggest comic books.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And it's on screen.
Totally. Mm. That's
cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. Pete's going to bring you a present. Let's get the last question.
What is the wildest text you ever got?
The wildest text?
Yep.
Comic book related?
What? It was Justin. He said, hey, going to be late for a show.
That's not wild. That's what he tests every time we take a show.
But it's wild that I keep texting you. Okay.
Are there any other questions? No insult to ever ask that.
You probably have the best text that I have.
Can't tell you.
That's classic.
There's a lot of questions about something I wasn't supposed to ask questions about.
Right.
So I tried to make it light, but whatever. All right. Simon versus Kirby, who would win?
Oh, man.
Steve.
Steve?
You've probably seen this.
Actually, in the day, Simon, because he was a lot taller, and he played a lot of sports. So the man could probably have taken Jack out. On the other hand, Joe did point out the time that there was a mouse in Jack's studio out in Mineola, and Jack went after it with a baseball bat.
Nice. Oh. Jack all the way.
Really?
I think when armed, Jack would have been able to hold his own.
Nice.
Stay tuned for the Simon Kirby video game deathmatch, where you can play it out in the comfort of your own home.
Chris, any opinions on who would win in a fight, Simon or Kirby?
There's a great story that Kirby tells in an interview where he talks about how he was in the army and they had the one judo, and he said that great Jack Kirby voice, and he was 40 men went into that class and only two came out, and I was one of them.
Cool. There you go. Any opinions? Anybody else?
Yeah, I go with Joe.
definitely Joe.
Jack Kirby and me.
Cool. I think it would be a draw.
It would be a draw.
Get it? Chris, thank you so much for calling in. Everybody give Chris a big round of applause.
The show, if you
want to
stop in.
So we're going to close the phone and hang up on you now, but thank you so much, Chris. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, it was a pleasure being here.
Cool. All right.
You're going to buy him a drink, right?
Yeah, certainly.
Cool. And raise your hand if you ask that question. Pete's going to bring you a gift. Okay. That's it for your audience questions.
Also, who asked the texting one?
Yes.
Okay.
That I was so mean about, I'm sorry. But that's it for your audience questions. Time for our next section of the game called The Week in Geek.
Yeah.
And there's only one thing we're going to talk about, you guys, which is we will actually talk about Disney. for those of you listening at home, we've just shown a picture of Moduck. Look it up. So what do you guys think about this?
Wish you were here.
Disney bought Marvel. Thoughts?
Kill me now.
Well, that's been a lot of people's reaction, and I know, Pete, you've been pretty worried about it, right?
Well, yeah, you're definitely worried about it because, you know, when you got a good thing going, you don't want people to mess with it. And Joe Q was quoted as saying, everyone take a deep breath, they're not going to mess with the characters.
Except I did hear they were just, the only thing they were adamant about is taking the claws off Wolverine. They're just like, it doesn't work, it's bad for kids. So, I guess that's one change we'll have to live with.
Really? Because I heard they were like, oh my god, one more day was so lame. We're not signing the agreement. You totally reverse it.
Yeah! I would put that clause in there.
Yeah, there were also like, enough with the Dark Raid stuff already.
That's my wallet.
I can't afford comics anymore, said Disney. what do you guys think about this? Any thoughts about the Disney buying Marvel merger thingy?
It's a little scary.
Yeah. Well, what do you think it's scary?
Disney's gonna take over the world.
Yeah, exactly. It's an evil corporation that keeps getting bigger.
They're founded on children's dreams.
Yeah. Oh God, kill me now.
Yeah. Are they founded or they suck them out of the kids?
Well, what do you
they have
what
little
you really
helmets.
Think?
Yeah,
what?
Those little ears or antennas.
Well, they're actually they're not. They're Warner is still seriously larger than even Disney, Pixar, Marvel. Warner is still by revenue, you know, substantially larger.
Well, they own AOL.
Despite that, they are still larger. And the fact
that's old America.
It's really kind of hard to tell what's going to happen because, like I said, in some ways this might level the playing field by giving resources that just didn't exist before.
Yeah.
A few years ago under Eisner, I think that there would have been a bigger problem. But I think that with the Pixar, where they basically bought Pixar and just left them, and said, you guys do this really well, do it, and make us a lot of money. It's potentially what they could do again.
Yeah, as long as they do that, that's cool. But I don't want them coming in, making changes.
Why did they do that to Times Square, huh? Just leave it alone.
So you like
Times Square. You miss the rape rooms that used to be in Times Square. Before they...
I miss them too.
Yeah. We all miss them.
I'm just saying.
Welcome back, guys.
You guys, really.
I don't know. I mean, everyone's just stressed out because it's like a corporation is going to meddle. But, I mean, what? It's not like they're going to be like, oh, now the Jonas Brothers are writing all the comic books.
No!
That's just what we want.
Jonas Brothers Avengers team up.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know
we all want it.
We also know that Marvel is unchanged since the 1960s.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah, exactly.
It's still Stan, Jack, Flo, and Saul, right?
Yeah, right.
I was reading something actually just before where somebody was saying, which I actually thought was interesting, that what would be so bad about watering down Marvel a little bit?
What?
Well, bear with me. I thought it was an interesting point. We were saying everything. Part of the reason that Disney bought Marvel is they want to reach out to young boys. And I think that's great.
Yeah.
The point was they're trying to reach out to a younger male audience. They want Marvel to have that, but Marvel's audience has been creeping older and older as it's been going on. And part of that is the material. The material is darker. You know, Dark Avengers, Dark Reign, whatever. It's more PG-13 than G or PG. Would there be something so bad as a more, not even necessarily all ages, but actually all ages approach to Marvel?
Yes!
We're tired.
What are you talking about?
Down for the kids.
There can be separate titles for kids, but what you're saying is like, would it be so bad to water down your stuff? Yes, because then your stuff would be watered down. It wouldn't be the same great taste or flavor.
It's like...
Slam! He lets his Kool-Aid dry.
He likes to call it like mouth punch.
Yes. I agree with you. Like, more variety. How is more variety hurting anything? If they, in addition to the four Punisher titles that came out last week.
Yeah, but that's how it's gonna start. It's gonna be like, oh, and we'll just start these titles. Then they'll sell more and be like, oh, guess what? All the cool stuff that you were reading falls by the wayside because it's not making all the money this is. Because Hannah Montana's in this shit.
Right.
but no, there's always going to be an audience for these characters.
Also, what's the problem with including a classic character like Hannah Montana?
I mean, I think you could speak to the fact that Simon Kirby first came up with Hannah. Back in the day.
Young Love, 17.
Thank you.
I would say it's the best of both worlds. That was a reference for one 12-year-old girl.
Oh, that was a Hannah Montana
song?
Maybe it was.
Oh, my God!
Oh, you gotta be kidding me!
Oh, man. Oh, I don't know how...
How do you know that?
Yeah, you're a creepy young man.
Ever since they kicked him out of Times Square.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
God damn, I made so much money on that brief room.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I did.
I know.
Come on.
I mean,
let's move on.
Speaking of all ages programming.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Anyway, I think we're all in agreement it's a good idea.
Yeah. I think it is going to be good, just because, like you're saying, I thought it was a great point. Like, if we get to see a bunch more Marvel animated movies, like, then that's a win.
Mm-hmm.
And
I guess it depends on whether we get the Disney Princesses Marvel or the Incredibles Marvel.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and it really just depends on what they do. It's very hard to tell, and Disney is changing constantly these days.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could be a disaster, but the fact is it also could be a very good thing. And if the stuff that they are currently doing, that's the Marvel Adventures stuff or whatever that is really all ages, can actually reach all ages finally. If they can figure out a way to market that so that we actually, I mean, think about it. You sell 100,000 copies of the top comic book these days if you're lucky in a 300 million person nation. Your graphic novel should be selling to a minimum of 500,000 people.
Because
they're that good. They look great.
They
material
do.
Is great. There is no reason that those things shouldn't be reaching huge audiences. And all of these comics should be. And maybe Disney will figure out a way to do some of that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's actually a really good point with the Marvel Adventures line, which for the most part sells about 5,000 copies per issue, and that's pretty much it. So if then you take the Marvel Adventures trades and they end up in Disney stores all over the place, that's great for their business.
Well, even better than that. I think
and those are good stories.
It's not necessarily the Disney stores, because frankly, those became oversaturated too.
Yeah.
And that's why they're imploding. But if those books get into like Walmart and Kmart, and I'm not a big Walmart or Kmart fan, but if I could reach, you know, thousands of people across all 50 states with good material. Now, again, Disney's changed a lot lately. The heads of Imagineering and film divisions are more creative people because they're coming out of places like Pixar. If the creative standards stay high, cool.
Yeah.
There's no telling what's going to happen, but there is the potential for it to work.
I think they should put you in charge.
It's a long shot.
I'm thinking that would scare a lot.
All right, that's it for the Week in Geek.
Yeah!
All right, it is now time for trivia, and for that we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right.
Pete LePage.
This is the trivia portion where we get back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25 free? Let me get through my spiel. I practice it in the mirror back there.
It's our fault, Pete. It's our fault.
All right, come on,
Christina.
Oh, she's
on.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Hey, Christina.
Christina, audience. Audience, Christina. All right. So,
is your birthday?
Yep.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah, just take the thing. It's
okay. No, let's make her
wait,
jump through
one minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so today's trivia is on Disney Comics.
Oh, no.
So how this is going to work is you're going to hear the question, then listen to all three possible answers, choose the correct one, go 3 for 3, gift card yours. All right, here we go. Who? Thank you, Bruce. Who was the first Disney character to appear in a comic strip? Is it A, Donald Duck, B, Mickey Mouse, or is it C, Bambi being stomped into a bloody pulp by Godzilla?
Oh, my God.
So it is either A, Donald Duck, or B, Mickey Mouse.
Is it B, Mickey Mouse?
All right! One for one. Okay, question number two. Who was not a Mouseketeer? Is it A, Ryan Gosling, B, Britney Spears, or is it C, Eliza Dushku? I just like saying her name. Oh, well, that's probably true. So I would probably choose, if I was you, A, B, or would you choose possibly?
Is it C, Eliza Dushku?
Eliza Dushku! This feels so great to yell. All right, here we go. Question number three. What is the worst thing to happen to Marvel recently? Is it A, being bought by Disney, B, Spider-Man's deal with the devil, or C, Captain America being stuck in a time loop, kind of lame? Really, whichever one you feel deep in your heart.
Oh, God.
They're all correct.
Can I just say A?
A is correct! $25 free.
Thank you, Pete, for that trivia and deep-seated pain. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Proof.
Of what?
Yeah!
Proof is a fantastic comic. If you're like, oh, you know, I like whodunits, but I'd rather have them solved by Bigfoot. You'll love this comic.
That is all we have been asked for since the series started, that you actually described it.
You're so proud when you say that. I don't get that. Proof.
It's great. Yeah.
Justin.
I'm looking forward to Marvel Zombies, the fifth one. The fifth series starts tomorrow.
Yeah, I read it. It's spectacular.
Yeah.
No joke.
Come on.
It's awesome. I loved it. It was one of my two favorite things that comes out tomorrow. The other one is Ultimate Comics Spider-Man number 2, which is better than the first issue in every way, and I love the first issue, so definitely pick both of those up.
Yeah.
Wow. Dan, what are you looking forward to?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice. And actually, Danica, plug some of your stuff. Where can people find info about you?
My book is coming out at the end of September, Refresh, and it'll be on Amazon and for Second Sight and Barnes & Noble.
Sweet.
Nice.
Cool.
And Steve, what are you looking forward to tomorrow?
Well, I got to say, I'm kind of curious to see what Quesada does with Marvel Man, because I read Marvel Man back when it was Alan Moore in Warrior Magazine. And, oh, man, I really hope they reprint those, because those are cool.
Yeah.
That was some of Alan Moore's best superhero stuff.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And tell people where they can pick up the best of Simon Kirby.
You can get it here, right. But you can also get it at most comic book stores, Barnes & Noble, Borders, Amazon. We've been doing really well on Amazon. All right. But if you get it here, you get it with Joe's signature.
Yeah.
Cool. A couple of things before we go. You can check us out almost every day of the week at youtube.com/comicbookclub. Also, next week we are going to have Dwayne Swierczynski on the show.
Oh, cool.
The writer of Cable, who is awesome. So
yeah.
Excited about that.
Oh, actually, we're also going to have Alex Zalbin guesting on the show.
Because his comic book existence!
I wrote a story in a Hulk team up, which is coming out next Wednesday, the 9th. So we'll talk about it.
We'll certainly talk about it.
Sweet.
Dwayne's a really good noir novelist too.
Oh,
so,
we're not.
He comes out of the novel. And I forgot that. No pictures, sorry.
Yeah. Cool. We don't like reading if there isn't pictures.
I love that. We want to teach kids to read, but we don't want to have to do it.
Cool, a couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Daddy for being on the show. Steve, we want to thank you guys for being every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody.
You're not screaming at us to get the hell out of here.
Thank you so much.
I will in a second.
So you guys,
I will in a second.
So
come here, you. Great seeing you.
So,
fantastic.